Well, happy Christmas. What a wonderful day for a Sunday to be worshipping together on Christmas Day when we remember the goodness of our God in giving his Son to be our Saviour. Let me open our service of worship with a few words from John the Apostle, and then I'll pray with you before we sing. All right. These words come from 1 John 4. It says, "The Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the great love with which you have loved us. So greatly you have loved us, Father, you have given your only begotten Son, so that whoever may believe in him will never die, but have everlasting life. Father, we thank you for that eternal life that has been found by so many souls here this morning, and we pray that it might be found again and again and again this year. Father, we pray for your mercy and your grace to persevere and your patience to win over our hearts, that we might be converted to Jesus Christ, that we might love him with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. Change us, we pray, for your own glory's sake and for our good. In Jesus' name, amen. So turn with me then in your Bibles to Isaiah, the prophecy of Isaiah, and chapter 60. We'll read the first 16 verses, or I'll read them to you. If you don't have a Bible, that's fine. What we're going to look at in the sermon, God willing, is something about the wise men, the good example that they set, these people who came from very far away to find and to worship the Lord Jesus. And what we have in Isaiah 60 is the prophecy which they begin to fulfill, as it were. In Isaiah 60, the prophet is promising the Lord Jesus coming into the world and that the whole world will fall to his feet. People will come from all over the nations to worship him and benefit from his salvation. And the wise men are like the sunrise of the beginning of this prophecy being fulfilled. All right, so Isaiah 60 and the first 16 verses. This is the Father now speaking to the this is the prophet, speaking to the Son. "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be nursed at your side. Then you shall see and become radiant, and your heart shall swell with joy, because the abundance of the sea shall be returned to you. The wealth of the Gentiles will come to you. The multitude of camels shall cover your land. The dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, all those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall proclaim the praises of the Lord. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together to you. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister to you. They shall ascend with acceptance on my altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory. Who are these who fly like a cloud and like doves to their roosts? Surely the coastlands shall wait for me, and the ships of Tarshish will come first to bring your sons from afar, their silver and their gold with them, to the name of the Lord your God and to the Holy One of Israel, because he has glorified you. The sons of foreigners shall build up your walls, and their kings shall minister to you. For in my wrath I struck you, but in my favor I have had mercy on you. Therefore your gates shall be open continually. They shall not be shut day or night, that men may bring to you the wealth of the Gentiles and their kings in procession. For the nation and the kingdom which will not serve you shall perish, and those nations shall utterly be ruined. The glory of Lebanon shall come to you, the cypress, the pine, and the box tree together, to beautify the place of my sanctuary, and I will make the place of my feet glorious. Also the sons of those who afflicted you shall come, bowing to you,
And all those who despised you shall fall prostrate at the soles of your feet, and they shall call you the city of the Lord, Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Whereas you have been forsaken and hated, so that no one went through you, I will make you an eternal excellence, a joy of many generations. You shall drink the milk of the Gentiles and milk the breasts of kings. You shall know that I am the Lord. I am your Saviour and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Amen. May God bless that word to us. Now let's read from Luke and chapter 2. A more Christmassy passage, classic, isn't it? Luke chapter 2. And we'll read verses 1 to 38 of Luke chapter 2. Luke 2, 1 to 38. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told them. And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, "Every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord." And to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms, blessed God, and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles, and a glory of your people Israel."
And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now there was one, Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Israel. Amen. May God bless the reading of his word to us. The eastern sages with delight adore this King of Kings. So if you turn with me to Matthew 2, we'll read about that. All right? Matthew 2, verses 1 to 15, and that'll be our text then this morning. Matthew 2, verses 1 to 15. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt I called my son. Now, quiz. Do you remember the message at the carol service? Do you remember what I said? We said, Jesus, when he comes into the world, among other things, brings people together. Do you remember that? We notice that through the nativity story, through the Christmas story in the Gospels, old people like Simeon and Anna that we read about, young people like Mary, poor people and rich people like shepherds and kings, tradesmen like men who live in Maisukuma, angels in heaven, even the stars, Jews and Gentiles, even unborn babies, all coming together because of Jesus. These people who would never normally be together, who often fight,
who don't belong in the same spheres of reality even. They're coming together because of Jesus Christ. And that continues today, doesn't it? Today, all sorts of people are gathering together in churches all over the world, in every country and in every language around Jesus Christ, because he has come into the world and he's bringing people together, tying them up in him. We noticed that, didn't we? I mean, even in here, the variety of people from how far away as well, so many different sorts of places too. Did you notice as we read, even in the little bits that we read this morning, how many different people go looking for Jesus? They go looking for him. We've got the shepherds go looking for him, the wise men go looking for him. Simeon is waiting for him. Anna waiting for him, so pleased to find him finally. I don't know if you've got any kids in your house, or tell you what, you can remember from when you were a child, all right? You wake up on Christmas morning, and you know the good news that there's a present waiting for you. And so what's the first thing you do? Bam, you're out of bed. Whoosh, you're down the stairs, and then you slide in on your knees to the bottom of the Christmas tree, and there's your present with your name on it. It's for you. All you do is look for it. You go seeking it, and you find it. It's there for you, just like you knew it would be. And so it is with all these characters in the Christmas story. They hear the good news that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And so they go looking for him. And so they find him. It's as simple as that. What happens when they find him, do you know? I love that verse 10, Matthew 2, verse 10. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. We don't have a word in English that translates the words that were given to us here by Matthew. It talks about a joy that is so explosive, it just effervesces and bursts these people. The joy is just it's just not describable. And so it is with the shepherds and with Simeon. He was so happy that when he held Jesus in his arms, he says, "Oh, now I can die. I could die. I'm so happy. Even death has lost its sting." Joy comes when people find the Lord Jesus Christ for themselves and know him to be their Savior. Real, deep joy that overflows and assuages anything else, even grief. And so it remains today. Countless people have a story where they heard the good news. Do you have one of these stories? I know a lot of you do. Heard the good news that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of sinners. And so they go looking for him. And so they find him. Do you remember your story? Let me ask you now this morning, after the service, if you want, you can ask your person sat next to you to tell them your story, to tell you their story, how they heard the good news and they went looking for Jesus and they're finding him all the time. And you know, you can be brave and ask them, and it's okay because now they're expecting you to ask. You know, the Lord absolutely loves to show himself to those who seek him. When Jesus came, one of the lovely things that he said was in Matthew 7:7. Do you remember it? It's a really good memory verse because it's 7:7. Matthew 7:7. "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you." Or you've got a really famous one in Jeremiah 29. This is to encourage you if you're seeking the Lord, whether for the first or the 100th time, Jeremiah 29. I wonder if the wise men read this verse. We know Jeremiah's writings were in the East, so maybe they read this. Jeremiah 29:13. "And you will seek me, and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart." Or in the words of King Solomon, we reckon he wrote the book of Proverbs, don't we?
Solomon wrote down these words. He's speaking for the Lord Jesus in Proverbs 8. He says, I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me, the Lord promises. If you are like all these Christmas characters, and you're looking for the Lord Jesus, the Savior that the Father has sent into the world, let me encourage you to keep looking. It's as if you're halfway down the stairs, and the present is just waiting to be found. But what do we do with Matthew 2? What do we do with Matthew 2? Because in here is the anomaly of the nativity. The one thing that sticks out, the splinter in us, the stone in our shoe. We say that everyone who seeks the Lord finds him, but here is someone who looks for him and never finds him. Jesus brings people together, but here, apparently, people are left out. So how do we make sense of this? It's disturbing, isn't it, that to think that it's possible to look for Jesus and never find him. And it's even more disturbing for Christians, for people like us who come to church on Christmas morning, who have our Bibles open in front of us, because these people, boy, they were devout. They loved the law of the Lord. So much did they love the law of the Lord that Micah 5 verse 2 was just on the tip of their tongue, waiting for somebody to ask them about it. They were filled with the Bible. They knew it through and through, but they failed to find Jesus to whom the Bible points. These chiefs and priests, chief priests and scribes in verse 4, full of the Bible in verses 5 and 6, they failed to find him. Herod was desperate to find Jesus, but he never did. How do we explain that? What's the difference between all these different types of seekers? Well, the only people who found Jesus, they were coming to know him, to love him, to worship him. See that in verse 2? The wise men, where is he? We have come to worship him. The shepherds went looking for good news about peace on earth and goodwill to men. Simeon went looking for him and said, my eyes have seen your salvation. Why are you seeking Jesus? Whether it's for the first time or for the 100th time, why are you seeking him? Why did you come to church on Sunday? Why did you read your Bible about Jesus? Maybe you've never ever known him, but you'd really like to. Maybe you've known him for an awfully long time, but oh, you just want more. You know, we like to sing that song, don't we, sometimes? More about Jesus. More about Jesus. You know, the Christian race, Hebrews says, is a race with our eyes fixed on him. It's like we're always looking for him. I don't know if you've ever read Augustine's Confessions. Fantastic book, a classic, you can still get it. St. Augustine says, our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you. Here's how we find him. Ready? I'm turning you to Deuteronomy in chapter 4. Here we have the words of Moses. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29. You will seek the Lord, your God, and you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. How you find Jesus and avoid being like Herod and his cronies who never did, the key is devotion. It is our motive and our goal in seeking Jesus that we may get on our knees and devote ourselves to him completely, to offer him our heart, like Calvin said, promptly and sincerely. But when you compare that with what Herod and his friends were up to, they were looking for him and reading their Bibles to find him, that they might kill him, that they might usurp him, that they might rub him out. That's the opposite of devotion, isn't it? Listen, the Father has sent his Son into the world, full of God the Holy Spirit, to be found by those who seek him with all their heart. Not to hide, but to be revealed. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, the prophet said. He's described as a light, arise, shine over the whole world like the sun, Isaiah said. Remember when we read that? Arise and shine brightly for all to see. Shout, Jesus is called a shout, isn't he? So that all may hear and see and come and seek and find him and get on their knees and worship him, be forgiven of all their sin and granted a new life in him. You know, throughout all of his ministry, people sought and found him. They said, Jesus, to whom else shall we go? Someone else, one of my favorites, shouted out, Lord, help me. Someone else, Lord, take pity on us and help us. And you know, he helped them all. He really did. And it carries on today. The people, lots of people, are making like these wise men, seeking out Jesus for help, and they find him, and he helps them, and he forgives them their sin, and he gives them a new life. There are people still scrambling to find him, and they get him. They get help from him. There's lots of people like that. There's people, even in this village this year, who found him. But while many people are seeking him for help, some people are seeking him for help. Do you see what I mean? Some people are looking for him so that he might help them. But others are just looking for the help. In John 6, verse 26, Jesus knows this, see, and he says to people, most assuredly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the bread and were filled. He says, you're just after me for food. Some people just went to him just for the healing. Some people went to him just because they thought he would be a great political leader and wanted a good ally. Some people go to him just because they know he has power and they want a share. Some people sought him just to kill him. And these are the ones from whom he withdrew. They never, ever find him. Even in the last moments of his life, it is he who goes to them. Do you remember when he is betrayed? And he says to his disciples, behold, my betrayer is at hand. Arise, let us go from here. Let us go to him. He's seeking me, but he can't find me. Let's go to him. In John 18 and verse 4, he is in the garden of Gethsemane, and he's confronted by these people to whom he has gone, and he says, here, yeah, it's funny, isn't it? Jesus, knowing that all things would come upon him, went forward and said to them, who are you seeking? Who are you looking for? And they answering, talking to Jesus, they don't realize he's in front of them. We're looking for Jesus of Nazareth. And he says, I'm he, I'm Jesus of Nazareth. And they all fall down on the floor. You know, lots of people are looking for Jesus, and those who seek him with devotion, with all of their heart and soul, they find him to be their Savior and their help and their God. But those who seek him to interrogate him, to kill him, to usurp him, just so they can master him, they never find him. Even in our own times, people are seeking Jesus for these sick motives, you know. Back in the 1990s, there was something called the Jesus Seminar. A bunch of historians and so-called Bible scholars all put their heads together to try and work out, can we really work out, without all that Christianity stuff, who the real Jesus of Nazareth was? And they never found him. They never found him. It was an utter failure. It never works. Seeking hard, they never find. But what's beautiful, right? And here's something really encouraging for you. Something really beautiful and quite ironic, really, is that while all this effort has gone to in the world and by Herod and his men and by all those with sick motives pursuing Jesus, all the effort that goes into that, they never find him, but there are countless people all over the world who are simply seeking Jesus that they might know him, that they might follow him, and these are the ones who find him because they seek him with all their heart,
with all their soul, that they might devote themselves to him. Average people, you know, normal people living normal lives, people who read the Bible and pray because they want to know Jesus, those who pray as they drive to work, those who are listening to the Bible as they do the ironing, who prioritize time in their week for church, for people who pray, even children who pray, while they're going to sleep. What's happening is these people are turning from themselves and they're saying, Lord, help me. Find me so that I might find you like those wise men. When people seek Jesus with all their heart, they will find him. I'm wrapping up now, okay? How do you think Herod was feeling in Matthew chapter 2 when he heard this news from the wise men in the first place? It's right there. When Herod heard this, he was troubled, and all the city with him. They trembled in their boots. Why do you think that was? Herod feared the consequences of people finding and following Jesus. He tried to prevent it. But not only did he never find him himself, he could not stop people from finding him and running after him. And lots of people today are trying to prevent people from finding Jesus Christ. Even Satan is hard at work in this world with his powers and his angels to prevent people from finding Jesus. But the Father sent the Son into the world to destroy the works of the devil. It won't work. If you seek him, you will find him. Let me encourage you, all right, with the Christmas story. You see all these different people who went looking for Jesus and found him because they were devoting themselves to him. Our living God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Whoever you are, whatever you have done, whatever you have been, you can turn again from yourself and seek him with all of your heart, and you will find rest for your soul. Amen. May God bless his word to us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we bless you for Christmas time, that while we were in a dark world under the dominion of Satan and victims of the darkness of our own hearts, you sent your Son as a light into this world, that all who seek and choose life will find him and know rest for their souls. We ask you, Father, that you might grant us to find Jesus Christ afresh this morning, whether for the first or 100th time, Lord, that we might behold him, our God in a manger, wrapped in swaddling bands, headed to a cross where he might bear away the sins of the world. Father, we wish to see him and to know him in the Holy Spirit, that we might be saved and granted a home in heaven, a hope for the future, the forgiveness of all of our sins, and a new life here and now. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen.